proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program. We continue with our series about the Trinity as presented in the Old Testament. The Old Testament taught that God exercises authority over the entire human race. In Psalm 103, for instance, the author wrote that, quote, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all," unquote. In the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel, that author warned the Babylonian king Belshazzar how his ancestor Nebuchadnezzar learned by experience that, quote, "The Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will," unquote. God is sovereign over all kingdoms. Nonetheless, God the Father has a special relationship with the Jewish people, Israel. He referred to them by the following epithets, quote, "My son, even my firstborn," unquote. Statements recorded in the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus. He reminded the Jewish nation in the third chapter of Amos, quote, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth," unquote. At Mount Sinai, God entered into an agreement with the Jewish nation, a pact known as the Sinaitic Covenant. He instructed Moses to inform the Israelites that, quote, "If ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation," unquote. For the first time in recorded history, God entered into an agreement with an entire nation, rather than with a specific individual and his descendants. Why did he do so? He explained the reason in the seventh chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Quote, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt," unquote. God promised to provide for the needs of the Israelites, as long as they obeyed him. However, the Jewish nation rebelled against God. He repeatedly sent prophets to them who called upon the Jews to repent and return unto him. However, according to 2 Kings chapter 17, the Jews, quote, "rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them," unquote. God rebuked the Jewish nation for disdaining him. He asked the Jews of Malachi's day, quote, "If then I be a father, where is mine honor?" unquote. A pointed question indeed. Rather than receiving reverence from his covenant people, all they gave God was their disrespect. Despite the behavior of the Jewish nation, God retained a special concern for the welfare of the Jewish people. He called them the apple of his eye in the second chapter of the book of Zechariah. Though God chastened the Jews for their transgressions, as recorded throughout the Old Testament, God never forsook the Jewish nation, nor will he. As he promised Israel in Ezekiel chapter 34, quote, "I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season there. There shall be showers of blessing," unquote. God maintains a special relationship with the Jewish people today. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.